You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the A-Side Live Chat at its normal time. I'm glad we can do this at a normal time after we've had to do Tuesday shows. Well, I've been here in Abu Dhabi. We've had to push back, I think, half an hour last week with Jade because media day ran late because Brian Ortega was sleeping. But we finally got a normal timed Wednesday episode of the A-Side Live Chat. I am, of course, Jose Jones with MMAfighting.com, your host. Joining me this week is my partner in crime, Alex Savas, and, of course, the producer, the man on the ones and twos, Casey Lydon. Casey, I guess I'll start with you because you put yourself on screen. How's life?
Inglewood is good. It doesn't just rhyme.
There you go. Alex, good. How's life in sunny California?
Actually, today's the first cloudy day I've seen in probably since we moved here in April. And I'm loving it. I'm living for this. Like, I'm going back to Chicago in a few weeks, and I actually really miss, like, fall weather.
Yeah.
I actually had to close the windows today. I was like, ooh, yeah. It's a little chilly in the home.
Yeah, like, I bet you guys could leave and go wherever you wanted.
One day I'll get out of there.
One day I will be free.
How are you, sir?
We are gonna get into it this episode, because as I'm sure people will be like, Jose looks mentally broken. You're not wrong. We're gonna get into it because we have some fun stories about how this is a cursed island and I am a cursed man on this island. It's kind of become a running joke with the media at this point, but we'll get into it for sure. But of course, you can leave your questions on Twitter. Use hashtag the A-side. You can leave it in the comment section on the YouTube page. You can leave a comment section on the site. We could talk about whatever you want, fighting or not fighting related. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Jade was great last week. We're going to keep the train running this week. So, Casey, what is our first question?
Beep, bop, boop. First question. You do do it. One moment. It's a big one. It's an important one.
From Jessica Napik on Twitter, the Crystal Queen. Is Jose's car okay? Let's just talk about it. I said I was going to talk about it. So here, I'll say it like this. I came here to Fight Island 5 weeks ago. Correction. I left Arizona for, let's not forget, the Colby Covington and Tyron Woodley fight, which seems like a year ago. I was at that one too. So I went from that fight right to Fight Island. I left Arizona with 4 SD cards. I brought an Xbox to play in my room. I parked my car somewhere in Las Vegas, the UFC headquarters. They let me park there to leave so I wouldn't have to pay airport fees. And I came here with a working SIM card on my phone. And what do they all have in common? That's right. They're all broken. Every single one. All of my SD cards have broken. Not like one of them is corrupted. 4 of them are just, the others are just physically broken. One of them got jammed in the camera, and John Morgan of MMA Junkie had to be like, he came over to help, and he's like, dear God, like, I don't know how to fix this without breaking your camera. He's like, I've never seen this before in my life. I'm like, yeah, I know, it just happens to me. My Xbox power supply caught on fire on the first day because the voltage in the Abu Dhabi is too powerful for US. My phone overheated in the Abu Dhabi weather, and my SIM card is now broken. Luckily, I have Wi-Fi. And someone hit my car while I'm here, and it has a flat tire because apparently a parked car just jumped out and scared them. So don't know who did it, but someone hit my car. while I'm stuck over here. Found that out on Fight Night. That's fun. So yeah, that's how my car is doing. So yes, I'm can't wait to get off Fight Island and away from this cursed land.
Are they gonna have your car like fixed for you when you get back? Or how are you getting home?
I doubt it. I asked if they could just fix the tire that's flat and then give me, if they know who did it, insurance information, and then I can like fix it from that point on. But like everyone is so locked in with UFC 254 Fight Week that like they don't, I saw a picture of it. It's just cosmetic damage, but it was definitely hit by a car. Oh, let me rephrase that. It was hit by two cars. I want two different cars hit my car. So that is Jose's life right now.
I feel like this isn't just an isolated incident, though. Like, oh, no. I feel like this kind of thing happens to you a lot.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, literally everyone's like, this is just Jose. Everything breaks and everything gets lost.
I saw Julia in the comments. Julia, if you could confirm what it's like, life with Jose.
She's like, I just texted her. I'm like, I'm just going to, like, next, if I ever come back here, I'm bringing two of everything.
Yeah.
Like, luckily, I brought two cameras. Like, and it's not just me, like, Oscar of the Mac Life, his microphone went out. So he has one of my mics. He has one of my XLR cords. He's given me an SD card because, again, all four physically broke, not corrupted, broke. So it's not like I can just fix them, like I core in however you fix a corrupted SD card. So
why don't you just go down, life goes on. Just go down to the local Circuit City or Best Buy or something.
Imagine if I could leave the bubble and do that. Imagine if I could do that, I would, but I cannot, unfortunately. When we do the beach press conferences, which is very cool, like it's a very cool setting. So I wish they did more. Like, remember Casey, they used to do cool press conferences, like cool spots a lot. Like, I think the last one, remember they did the, we, none of us were at it, but they did the Masvidal Diaz one on top of that roof. But they used to do a lot of cool press conferences in various spots. Yes. And it reminds me of this. But the problem with holding press conferences outside in Abu Dhabi is you have to use Abu Dhabi internet, and it's outside in like 98 degree weather, and computers don't really cooperate when they get overheated. So fun times in Fight Island world, but I digress.
So you want to be an MMA reporter. Like,
oh, right. Everyone's like, oh, why is your footage choppy? Why is this? Why is that? I had an unbelievable upload speed of 0.02 the other day from the media room. Yeah. Appreciate the round of applause.
Crushing it.
We're working through it.
Well, thank you, Jessica, for the question, and you know, to really bring out the misery in Mr. Jose Youngs. I wanted to start this off with a good positive feel. Let's talk about Mookie Betts now.
What floor is he on? Don't open the window.
Yeah, dude, I haven't even, Casey. You know. I haven't even thought about him since he broke my. You were all there. The two of you were there when he broke my heart in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't stop talking about it.
Yeah,
it's like 3 days.
And I tried.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're killing me, Smalls. No more baseball talk, especially about Mookie Betts. Imagine a world where you – again, I'm not talking all about right. this right now. There's not enough time in the world to talk about Mookie Betts.
You know what it's like? It's like if there's ever like kind of like a dull point in the A-side, I'll just bring up Mookie Betts, you know, just to kind of bring up the anger. It's kind of like when, you know, you kind of run out of questions for Dana, so you just bring up Bob Arum. So, Bob Arum. Oscar.
What did Bob – did you hear what Bob Arum said about Khamzat Chimaev? Like, that's just SEO gold right there.
Really? What did he say? Oh, just
– He hasn't
said anything. Just one of those things. Yeah.
Bob Arum talks Khabib Nurmagomedov and Khamzat Chimaev would just be SEO gold for Dana White. But I will never ask him that.
Nope. All right.
Anyway.
Next.
No more.
let me go to the YouTube comments real quick. We got some people.
the unpredictable questions.
Let's get this out of the way. Oh, that's too big.
From Joseph Boza, Danielle Nickerson came forward with her allegations of domestic violence against her ex-husband, Mike Perry, with an interview with MMA Junkie. If they are true, what should the UFC do? So, yes, to put this in perspective, not only did they have an interview, apparently they have part of the – I haven't dove into it too much. I don't know if you guys have some 911 audio sound of, like, the call. And what's the most alarming from the 911 call is when Mike Perry is apparently going on this tirade, and she called – Danielle Nickerson called someone to come help. It was Mike Perry's mom that came, and it was Mike Perry's mom that called 911. So this isn't Danielle's mom. This is Mike Perry's mother is the one that called 911. So it is just shockingly alarming. I don't, like, again, I haven't dove into it too much, so I'm not going to try and speak on it like I know everything. But Alex, I will start with you. I don't know if you've read all about it. What do you think the UFC should do if it is true? And what do you make of this whole situation?
Unfortunately, I don't know if there's a lot the UFC can do unless there's charges filed. You know, if she decides to, I mean, I haven't read like the details. I don't know if she went to the police. Obviously they called 911, but I don't know what came of that phone call. But until like there's charges pressed and there's an investigation, like, unfortunately, I don't think the UFC can or will do anything. I think it's no secret what the UFC's track record is as far as like these sorts of allegations and things like that. They tend to just kind of disappear after a while and everybody just moves on to the next thing. And we just kind of normalize it, you know, and I don't know, I guess I don't really see anything manifesting from these allegations.
From what I hear, I don't know if how much they've put out, but I would imagine there's going to be multiple reports on this. Like, someone, of course, will do more of a deep dive, Junkie, if not Fighting, MMA Fighting or someone. But the lid is open for more of this, especially because the footage is out there and Danielle is on camera talking about it. I'm sure we're going to have to ask. We will have to ask Dana White at some point, hopefully Saturday or Friday before after weigh-ins or after the fights. So I think based on his response is how we're going to know how the UFC will handle this. But Casey, what do you make of this whole situation?
Not good. Not good. And I don't expect the UFC and Dana White to do anything about it because they've already booked Mike Perry in a fight, in a pretty big fight against Robbie Lawler. Is it Robbie Lawler? Is that official?
Yeah.
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 And yeah, so not good. I'm very disappointed, but not surprised that, you know, you have to go through some of the comments and just the negativity toward Ms. Nickerson coming out with these allegations. And yeah, it's just disappointing, just as humanity as a whole. But I really hope the UFC, like they said, because after the whole, you know, punching an old man at the bar thing incident with Mike Perry a couple months back, I think they said, oh, he's going to get help and he won't be booked for a fight till he's better. I don't know. Is Mike Perry better? And this doesn't seem to be making the situation any better either. So I'd like to hear what the UFC, if they've actually put Mike Perry in counseling, if they believe Ms. Nickerson, are they calling Ms. Nickerson? Are they denying what she's saying? So I like Mike Perry to come out and talk about what Danielle said too. But right now, this is just a bad look for the sport, the fans, everything. I would like to say good job by Simon from MMA Junkie that did the interview with Ms. Nickerson. And I saw parts of the interview and it seemed very well done. And I'd like to say just thank you for Danielle for coming out and speaking publicly about this, because I know it's a very tough situation. And I did watch the two or three minute clip where she explains why she didn't call the police. And it's very, you know, it's very typical of what you hear from loved ones who don't want to put their other loved ones in jail, you know, went to make the situation worse. But the scary part was Danielle was talking about how, you know, Mike Perry was suicidal or talking about suicide after the, I think, Jeff Neal fight. So Yeah, I think I think UFC needs to hold off on booking or going through with Lawler versus Perry because it seems a lot of bad stuff.
It's because remember we interviewed him before that fight, and part of the big conversation was he was in a better place the whole time. Because remember, he even apologized for lashing out at me.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I was just an angry person. I'm trying to work through my anger and this and that. So it seems like he was saying all the right stuff at the beginning. Obviously, none of us have any idea what was going on behind the scenes. But, like, remember, Travis Brown went through something like this where he was accused of domestic violence and the UFC pulled him. He didn't have a fight booked, but that was International Fight Week. So he had a lot of appearances booked at, like, the Fan Expo or, like, the guest fighter, I would imagine, stuff, or, like, the booth outside the fights, taking photos and meeting people and shaking hands. And they pulled him from all that. Mm-hmm. So, but he didn't have a fight. And, you know, if Mike Perry is going to fight one person that's not going to talk about any of this, it's probably Robbie Lawler. He doesn't want to talk about anything, though. So, but yeah, I would, if I was UFC, I would really hold back from booking Mike Perry until more information is out.
Yes.
Yeah. Tristan Gordet, what do you think of McGregor's Twitter reply to a fan that I believed he was up two rounds against Habib at UFC 229 before eventually being submitted? Wasn't his exact response like someone says, like, oh, you, I can't remember what the tweet was, but he said LOL ha 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 or something like that. It was very absurd, but I don't really care if he believes he was up two rounds because he lost. Like, you can believe you won two rounds all you want, but you still have an L and you're still tapped out. It's not like those two rounds were the deciding factor. You know what I'm saying? But Alex, what do you think when you hear McGregor believes he's up two rounds or won two rounds against Habib?
I'm going to take a page out of my old friend Robert Whittaker's book here. I don't care.
That's funny.
Nailed it.
That's funny.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Well, we will hear from Alex after Christmas. That's another inside joke from Robert Whittaker. Casey, what do you think when you hear McGregor say he thought he was up 2-0 or believed he was up 2-0?
Cool.
Yeah, neat. Cool. Good story, bro.
Yeah.
You still lost.
Like, yeah, it's like, hey, and you know what? I just think this is an argument for open scoring. That's what I think.
There you go. And we don't need to hear any more about open scoring on the A side.
Yeah. If that's the confidence that Conor needs to keep himself motivated to eventually fight Habib again, which is what he wants, then yeah, cool. You won every single second of that round and you were about to finish Habib and then you slipped on a banana peel and somehow your jaw got cranked off. You know, unfortunate, you know, so yeah.
His foot was a balloon, man, remember?
Yeah, you had a balloon foot, yeah, so.
It's unreal. He was drinking all night, he was hungover, he had a balloon foot, this and that, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
blah, blah. So yeah, whatever makes you feel good, Mr. McGregor.
Yeah, I like that. We can all believe whatever we want to believe.
Okay. Let me look at the YouTube. Let me talk about this real quick.
From Danny Belanger. Why people don't talk about Akinta's fight with Khabib? Akinta was quite successful in takedown defense and partly punching. This is an oddly worded question, so I'll try to reword it for him. Why don't people talk about Ali Akinta's fight with Habib? Ali Akinta was quite successful in takedown defense and partly punching. Let's not forget, this fight was, what, like 48 hours notice for those two? Like, Habib was originally supposed to fight Tony, and then he was supposed to fight Max, and then he fought Al. And then he also, I know he decided to fight an entire round standing because Hav, his coach, was like, what are you doing? Like, take him down. And they're just like laughing and jabbing and punching each other. But yeah. So, Casey, you were at that fight. I was at that fight. Yeah. This was the famed Dolly fight weekend where Conor threw the Dolly through the window. Why don't people talk about Akinta's fight against Khabib?
Khabib. Well, I think he kind of answered it a little bit in the question by putting air quotes around successful. I mean, right. He went 25 minutes, but I guess that's successful because Habib won every 24 of those minutes.
Every second.
Yeah, I'm being generous to Al, and we knew Al.
Do you know what one of the scorecards was?
I'm assuming 54, to 4, fine. I don't know. Like 50-44, 50-43,
50-43. Two 50-43s in that fight.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Like
he wasn't successful.
Yeah, so I think that's successful. So are we trying to claim that is Gaethje just a much better version of Ai Quinta in the sense that a wrestler of good takedown D and even more powerful hands? I mean, maybe. So if that in that sense, you know, do we think this is going to be like, I don't know. I'm not sure of this question. I'm just trying to. I don't know.
Alex, why don't you talk about Ali King's fight with Khabib more?
I'm sorry. I just think so much has happened between that fight and now. Like Conor McGregor versus Khabib kind of just took over all of Khabib's history. Like nobody cares what happened before that. Yep. And now we're just talking about Conor Khabib and the future. Sorry, Ai Quinta, like big fan, but, and hey, you went 5 rounds. That's amazing. But like, I don't know. It's a little news.
I also think Al got dominated and he's won obviously some fights. He beat Kevin Lee in a fight. Like that was a beatdown. Like that was a very, very, very high performance. High level performance. 5 rounds in the last Air Fox card. In Milwaukee. Casey, you were in Hawaii for that. And you were in beautiful Hawaii doing video with Alima. And I was in frigid Milwaukee watching Kevin Lee and Ali Quinta.
Beautiful
and
then also, Milwaukee.
Okay. In December 15th. And then he got beat down by Cerrone and Dan Hooker also dominantly in back-to-back fights. So I just think Khabib was one of the last, like, we've seen it twice since that Ali Quinta's kind of been dominated. I mean, the Cerrone fight was great, but Hooker took it to him on a massive card in a co-main event spot.
I like the term partly punching, though.
He didn't fully punch. Yeah. He just partly punched.
All right. Next question.
From Rob Freer. Is the way they're handling the introduction of Michael Chandler giving off Bret Hart WCW vibes or just me replacement fighter / special guest ref? Casey, you want to talk about Bret Hart's jump to WCW?
Actually, I have no idea. That was my era where I just didn't care about pro wrestling. So I get what he's talking. I'm kind of getting the vibe, though. Overall, I think the UFC is actually doing a terrific job of introducing Michael Chandler to the UFC audience without actually having him fight. So
100%.
I mean, he's doing media. You know, he even has Khabib talking trash about him. That was kind of that was kind of weird. I thought what Khabib said about Chandler, but UFC from a promotional standpoint is doing a very good job of putting Michael Chandler's name out there. And so when he does officially get booked for a fight, I think there's going to be just extra excitement for it.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alex, what do you think of the UFC's handling of... You don't have to compare it to Bret Hart's WCW vibe because I'll get into that in a second. But what do you think of the handle of Michael Chandler? Because honestly, like, you and I have covered Michael Chandler at the Chicago cards before.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude is very well spoken. Like, if you're trying to build a brand, he's one of those fighters you really want to put the machine behind. What do you think? How do you think the UFC has been handling his pre-debut, I should say?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been pretty successful. I mean, there's no protocol as far as like when you bring over a champion from one promotion, where do they fall in line in the other one? So I guess we just kind of treat him like he is one of the top fighters already. You know, I probably wouldn't have thrown him in as backup for Khabib Gaethje, but whatever. I think him versus Tony Ferguson, just like he said, would probably be the perfect way to introduce himself to the division. So I hope that fight actually comes to fruition. Yeah, I think he was already kind of one of the names that kind of transcended Bellator, and a lot of UFC fans knew who Michael Chandler was already, and I think even just more so now. So as far as a mark of success, I say I agree with the UFC.
Yeah, they put, like, he had a virtual media day after Habib Gaethje. Like, they all did it together. He was at media day. He still couldn't wait. He's been on embedded. He did the quarantine stuff. He has great social media presence. Like, he has a professional photographer that's around with him. He shares some great footage of him training with his, again, adopted son from Africa. So just more things to get behind him for. yeah, I really like the handling of Michael Chandler's debut. I think he's not over. He's not what, like, we're not getting burnt out from the Michael Chandler content. I think the only thing I'm getting a little burnt out of is him saying, "I'm not here for a long time, I'm here for a good time." I think he has to sink that into every single media scrum or interview he does, but he's been great. I can't wait. I'm highly, highly anticipating his UFC debut even more, and I hope it is against Dan Hooker or Tony Ferguson. But the Bret Hart thing is a little ridiculous because Bret Hart had a 90 or 60 day no compete clause after he left WWF at the time. So he had to be a guest referee in a lot of matches. He couldn't actually wrestle because of contractual things. And then once that wrapped, I believe his first feud was with Ric Flair after 60 days. So the more you know.
Wait, hold on.
That's why the replacement fighter / special guest ref. That's great.
I didn't use that sound effect more.
There you go. I think he was I think he refed Sting versus Hogan, if I remember correctly, and he refed a bunch, but he couldn't actually wrestle for a hot minute. It was either 60 or 90 days.
So what the UFC should have done during the face-offs today, instead of Dana in the middle, yeah, they should have Chandler in the middle.
Casey,
why am I not making the millions of dollars?
I'm
just giving them away for free.
Casey, you're just the idea man.
Dana, Venmo me. Give me some money. Those are good ideas.
Oh, then Dana knows what Venmo is.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question, Rob Freer. Excellent comparison with Bret Hart, too.
Okay, this one is for Alex K. Lee, but we'll talk about it anyway.
If the Ultimate Fight from hardcore casual UFC fan on Twitter. If the Ultimate Fighter did another comeback season, which division and which fighters do you like to see in for a chance at a UFC contract? Oh, man. So comeback season, huh? Which means you have to bring the rules with comeback seasons is they're all ex-UFC fighters trying to make it back to the UFC. So they've done it before. Matt Serra won, who then famously at that point in time, the prize was it was all current UFC fighters or like very recently released UFC fighters. And the prize was a shot at the champion. So Travis Luter won. He would get to fight Anderson Silva. Matt Serra won. He would get to fight George St. Pierre. Travis Luter, of course, missed weight. So it was a non-title fight. Matt Serra knocked out George St. Pierre in what I consider the greatest upset in the history of mixed martial arts. And a knockout none of us talked about the craziest knockouts in UFC history. And then the next one was a lot of ex-UFC fighters. And I believe Jesse Taylor beat Douglas Lima or Diego Lima. One of the Limas.
Diego, not Doug. Not Dougie.
Diego Lima. Yeah. And then, Diego Lima. And then I believe Jesse Taylor eventually had some USADA issues. It was very reminiscent of the Josh Barnett thing where it was he got suspended for – I don't know off the top of my head, but he hasn't fought. He's got released with a day before his UFC suspension or something crazy like that. So it was very Josh Barnett reminiscent. So if you could make a comeback season, which division or which fighters would you like to see in it? Casey, I'll start with you because Alex seems to be deep in thought trying to come up with ideas.
You know, I don't think a comeback season works anymore because when they did those original ones, the roster was so much smaller.
Super small.
And now, yeah, it's just right. The landscape is very different. So I think by comeback season, I don't think they have to be out of the UFC. I'm just going to put maybe people are out of contention. You have a question, Mr. Young?
No, I have an idea. It came to my mind.
Go for it.
All of the flyweights that were cut.
Whoa.
Come back and the winner gets a UFC flyweight title fight.
That'd be cool.
If they're not locked up in contracts. So like Shorty Torres, Zach Makovsky, who did Shorty just fight? Did Shorty just fight to a draw? Well, you know what I mean.
I've got his opponent's name.
Right. Like a lot of, there's a lot of phenomenal USU flyweights that were cut. So bring them all back, even throw some current flyweights that are on the, cause let's not forget James Krause was on a UFC win streak and they put him in the Ultimate Fighter comeback season.
Yeah.
He was on a win streak and they still made him go on that show. So even a few flyweights that maybe have lost a fight or two. Wait, so just put a bunch of flyweights.
So we're going to have a tough comeback season with a bunch of flyweights and you didn't mention Demetrius Johnson. Let's get him back.
I think he's a little bit. Yeah. He might be a little busy.
Yeah, a little busy.
He probably wouldn't come.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds kind of insulting to me. Like, yeah. Oh, give it another shot with us. Like, shut up. We've moved on.
You want to fight for a title, but how are you as a roommate? Yeah. that's what decides who's gonna fight for the title. Are they a good roommate? Yeah.
Like, how will so and so hold their liquor before fight night?
Shorty,
can they cut weight with cake around?
Yeah. No.
So you know what? I hate the idea of Ultimate Fighter comeback season. Just have dudes fight and have some sort of freaking tournament. I don't care. Just what I just don't need to see their sleeping schedule. You know, and if they wash the dishes.
You know? I think Michael Chandler and Tony Ferguson would be an awesome pairing for coaches.
No, I think that'd just be an awesome fight. I don't care about them sitting on the sidelines for 12 months.
Michael Chandler has said, if you watch his media day thing, he's cut weight 4 times in 12 months, and he wants a break. And Tony Ferguson, he'll fight today, but I feel like if they put him and Chandler on, the winner gets the number one contender shot. I just think it would help Chandler recover, and I think Tony Ferguson would get to, I don't know, be on camera a bunch and be crazy, and I just want to see his crazy workouts.
Okay,
that would be entertaining.
That makes sense. Just cut the whole Ultimate Fighter part out and just have Tony Ferguson working out in front of a webcam for about 2 hours a day. I think that's all we want, really.
So. Deal. Tony Ferguson won the Ultimate Fighter, so he knows what it takes. Team Brock Lesnar.
Man.
PJ Higgins, why did the Crystals betray your car, Jose? Excellent question, PJ. I think it's because I didn't have any crystals in my car. I think that would have to be it, but no, I know that's why. Crystal related, but if you watch that Embedded series, the one, like, I think it's episode 2 or 3, where Jared Cannier's laying all his rocks out in the octagon on the beach. I was watching this happen. And he was like Walt Harris, Eric Anders, Casey Kenney, Benson Henderson, like they were all just like talking. And Jared Cannonier was just doing his thing in the octagon, just like meditating with all those rocks around him. And I was like, I love everything about this because everyone has, like, whether they believe it or not, has just like accepted that this is Jared. Like he's just in the zone right now and they're just letting him do his thing. And it was very interesting. It was a clash of style. It was just a clash of images with like all these fighters on the beach and then Jared just in the zone with his rocks.
Just a man and his rocks.
All
right. Well, thank you for the inflammatory question, PJ Higgins. I appreciate that.
Something tells me you would sell me some excellent payroll system. From James G, should Jessica Andrade get an immediate title shot at 125 after Maya or fight one more? So yes, Jessica Andrade finished Kaitlyn Chookagian, who I believe was still the number one ranked women's flyweight in the world. She called for a title shot, said she would be ready just in case Jennifer Maya doesn't make it, and also volunteered to go up to 145 if Megan Anderson can't make. She's just down to fight. But Alex, if you are the UFC, do you ask Jessica Andrade to fight one more time, or do you give the title shot to Andrade after Maya?